I mean,
this is really good for you to be doing this, actually, because it's nice to hear yourself, you know, to sort of remind yourself where you are. So, although I'm nervous, I'm looking at it as an opportunity. And for me, I have been around a while. I think it's about, I can never know exactly, somewhere in the region about 20 years. So it's always good for me to remind myself why I came in the first place. And with regard to weight, you'll see from the photographs, I was very underweight. And then that triggered me to become a compulsive overeater, and I became overweight. So I've been anywhere between probably 7 stone up until about 12 stone, and many places in between. So I'll just pass those around. That shows sort of the... And when I was putting the literature out, my eye was caught by why I came here in the first place, really. So on the weight front, I can't sort of give exact figures, but just that generally, I came in about 20 years ago. I didn't become abstinent initially. It took me, I'm afraid I sat around for probably a couple of years in meetings before I came out fully abstinent. And as I say, my weight then gradually went down over a period to what it is now. I don't weigh myself, I've no idea what I weigh, but I feel as if I'm a healthy weight. For me, weighing was always a world of pain, so I never did it. And on this little card I was putting out this morning, it said, "Are you obsessed with food, eating, or your weight?" Yes, I was. "Are your thoughts about your weight affecting the way you live your life?" And they very much were. I remember actually standing having conversations with people thinking, how can I get out of this conversation to get somewhere where I can eat something? So that was a very, that struck a chord. "Do you eat when you're not hungry?" And definitely. Hunger wasn't ever involved in any of my eating, really. It was definitely emotional eating. "Do you go on eating binges or avoid eating for no apparent reason?" And what I used to do was try not to eat for about 3 days and then eat everything in the world for a day. So it's very feast and famine way of eating, extremely problematic. And I could add some other things to this list as well, because a lot of these things are focused on the food. But emotionally, my life was, I had that expression, joy of living. There was no joy of living whatsoever. I was just going through the motions. Most of my relationships were based on people not really knowing me. I, as I went out of the door in the morning, I put my face, my fake actressy face on, so that people didn't really know me. So most of my relationships were not really based on the truth. Family, probably, again, there wasn't much honesty around my relationships with my family. So really I was just kind of sleepwalking through life. I remember going for an interview for a job, and I'd binged the night before, and quite frankly I didn't really care whether I got the job or not. You know, just again, just going with the flow, not really making any decisions in my life, and sleepwalking along. So my food problem really began when I decided that if I lost some weight, everything would fall into place and, you know, life would be wonderful. And I did manage to, as you can see from the photographs, white knuckle my way down to an unhealthily low weight. And surprise, surprise, that made no difference. I still felt like crap. None of my feelings about myself, my low self-esteem, were any different. And then I think that sort of triggered me into the world of compulsive overeating, and I just ran riot and was quite shocked and appalled about my obsession with food came in, and I tried various easier, softer ways. I hadn't actually made the connection. I thought it was just a physical thing, you know, and I couldn't quite work out that it was a head thing. So I tried one thing which involved having electronic pads strapped to myself to make me thinner, and went back on a weekly basis and was binging in between, and the poor woman couldn't understand why nothing's happening. But I didn't, you know, tell her the bit about eating all the binging in between bit. Health farms, I think. Just trying to remember the list. We all have our list of various things. And I actually did go and speak to someone more of a sort of psychological aspect, and I wrote the list of all the things I binged on, and then we were going to discuss that, you know, and how we could maybe make some changes. And I was so mortified by the lengths of these lists, I couldn't keep going back because my shame was so great. Weight Watchers, I used to do the, had to move around a lot, tried all the different weight, you know, because as soon as nothing was happening, the shame would come in, so that I'll just sign up with another one and start again. So all this mad and crazy behaviour, all to no avail. I can't remember, I think I did find out about OA via my doctor, so eventually found my way to an OA meeting in Kent, which was where I was living at the time. And fortunately, somebody there, I eventually asked to be my sponsor, and she agreed. And I remember sitting outside her house in my car, I'd written my fourth step, which I was going to go and share with her, and felt enormous amounts of shame, and it was just felt like going into a confession, really. But, you know, I came out, there was no judgment, and I'd got rid of an awful lot of stuff that I needed to get rid of, so I was very grateful for that. And then gradually, just by working my way through the steps, my desire to eat compulsively was lifted, miraculously. And I was able to sort of develop my relationship with a higher power. And I was very much somebody who, I remember going to the first meeting and I was thinking, why are they doing this for nothing? You know, what's this all about? And then they mentioned God and I thought, you know, and I was rather suspicious of the whole thing and thought there had to be an angle. So going from that, you know, to just being open to the idea of a higher power, and they said, oh, well, it could be anything, you know, it could be the table, it could be the group, it could be whatever. So I sort of clung on to that, really. And then gradually life started to change, and without the food, without the compulsion and constantly thinking about food, there seemed to be a whole new world opening up, you know, where I could look for better relationships and be honest in relationships and make decisions about what I wanted to do with my life. And at a similar time, the company I was working for closed down, and I was sort of a huge amount of fear about going into the world and becoming self-employed, which I found really hard because I had to sort of put an actual monetary value on myself, and negotiate, you know, what I was worth. And so I was able to use the programme to help me in all areas. Then I moved from where I was living up to London, and still came to meetings, and you know, things were really turning around, and just to sort of kind of fast forward to where I am now, I would come to this meeting. This for me is a given. I come to this meeting every Saturday. I would never think of not coming. I'm now in a healthy relationship with somebody. They have a son who lives with me, so I live with my stepson. That's very challenging. So I use the reason I've stayed within the program is, you know, I have to deal with my food on a daily basis. More or less say overall I'm abstinent. Every day I have to do it again. But the reason I've stayed is for the other side of the program, which is the spiritual side of the program. And that's what I use to deal with life in general. I mean, I had this idea that when I was abstinent and got to the weight I should be, that would be it. I'd never have any problems in life. How naive is that? So I still have to deal with stuff, but I don't have to use food to deal with it, which is such a miracle. And I'm able to stand back and look at the bigger picture. You know, I often say to myself, there's a few things going on at the moment, you know, living with two people in a small space, I've got a bit of a medical issue at the moment, my husband's not working, you know, we all have our list of stuff, but I can get up in the morning and I can say, I can do today, I'm not sure what's happening next week or the week after, but I can cope with today, and I keep it really simple. I speak to someone in the morning, I pray, I meditate, I get on with my day, and I just, you know, as I say, I just keep it in that day. And I enjoy life. You know, I actually feel very positive, I feel very hopeful. I sort of go out into the world and just enjoy whatever the day brings. Which is a miracle. I'm not thinking a huge amount about food. I am at a stage now with the food where every day is different, and sometimes I have to go to restaurants, sometimes I have to choose from a select, you know, they're catered for, and before I approach any situation, I just have a chat with my higher powers that just help me make the right choices in this situation. There's the other scenario. I was talking to someone in the break, the menopause, another nice challenge for women of a certain age. Hot flushes, lack of sleep, highly emotional, and feelings of low self-esteem, which is why I came into the programme to start with. So hooray, here we go again. But, you know, thankfully I have all these things in place now that I can deal with whatever comes up, and you know, none of these things involve food. There's such a support system there. There's people I can talk to. You know, I feel like I've finally got the book of life given to me. It's all in there. I've managed, you know, for many years without any help, and my way didn't work. You know, I learned that. Whatever I was doing wasn't working, and I just think it to have the opportunity, I feel quite emotional about it, but to start again, get rid of the past, the wreckage of the past, and to start again, I feel really grateful for that. Thank you. I'll leave it there.
Thank you.